Okay, we'll call the meeting to order for April 19th. We have a quorum, and we have one proclamation, so Bill, you want to read that one?
I would be honored to and encourage our presenters to come forward as I'm doing that. Proclaiming April 2017 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month in Lincoln County. Whereas sexual assault affects every Oregonian, whether as a victim or survivor, or as a family member, friend, partner, neighbor, employer, or co-worker. Whereas about 1 in 4 adult women in Oregon has been the victim of rape, and nearly 1 in 5 men in Oregon has experienced sexual violence in their lifetime. And whereas compassionate, courageous, and dedicated individuals, local organizations, and other partners have provided services and support for victims and survivors, and have worked to prevent sexual violence for decades. And whereas sexual violence is preventable, and all communities are strengthened when we promote healthy and safe attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors, while also working to eliminate tolerance for violence. And whereas every individual and community in Oregon has a role to play in helping to eliminate sexual violence by promoting social change. Now, therefore, in recognition of the important work by My Sister's Place, the SLED's CARE program, Lincoln County District Attorney's Office, and the Lincoln County Sexual Assault Task Force, the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners do hereby proclaim April 2017 to be Sexual Assault Awareness Month in Lincoln County and encourage all citizens to work with these community agencies in helping to alleviate this problem in our country.
Thank you. Would you please identify yourself?
Yes. Good morning. My name is Lisa Norton. I'm the executive director of My Sister's Place.
I'm Kim Lane. I'm the program coordinator for the CARE program.
We're here once again to seek your support for declaring April Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We do a lot of work in this community. We work well with a lot of our community partners, you included, and we're really excited once again to come before you and offer to answer any questions or highlight you on anything that you would highlight any of our accomplishments since October was Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Well, first one I'd ask about is the state is facing budget difficulties, and there's a lot of talk about potential cuts in all kinds of domestic programs at the federal level, including the Violence Against Women Act. How big of a concern is that for sustaining this great, effective public-private partnership in Lincoln County at this point?
Well, I mean, I'm never going to turn down money. But I think it is a concern. I mean, in our organization, we are actually, I'm developing two budgets, one in the event that we have status quo, which I think will be most reliable, at least for this biennium. But I'm also looking at 10% mandatory cuts because of the financial straits that the state is in. So looking at how we can scale back services and that kind of thing. The nice part about sexual assault awareness is that we don't take that on alone. We have great partners with the DA's office. And so we do wonderful work that would continue to be sustained, but we probably would see an impact in terms of getting people to safety, because that's one of those areas where I could make cutbacks without doing, I mean, if we have to, that's one of the areas. So there may be
good choices.
There aren't good choices, but I still have to have staff to man my crisis line 24 hours a day. I still have to have staff on site at our shelter location to make sure that people are safe. So where I can make cuts is fewer services to get people to safety or reestablish. I put out several grant applications, one very large one through the Office on Violence Against Women for transitional housing, those kind of things. So still working to keep the funding up, but the state funding crisis is really weighing heavily as I prepare my budgets this year.
So you want to go ahead and present what you want and answer the same question, please.
So for tribal nations, I know that there's sometimes some rhetoric that tribal nations have plenty of funding and that our casinos pay for everything. That's not actually true. We actually, my position as well as all of the other CARE program positions are grant funded through the Department of Justice. And as the state and feds cut back, that funding sometimes goes away. So there is the potential for our program to be eliminated if we are not given a continuation of what's called the CTAS fund, which is, again, through the Department of Justice. And so, you know, definitely in jeopardy. But thankfully, the tribe does have other services that we can help partner with in the case of secession having to happen. And we're just kind of preparing other departments for that. We'll know in about October if I remain, and we'll have two positions that will remain for 3 years after that.
Well, you're talking about promoting healthy and safe attitudes, which to me is education, I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what are some of the activities that you do that are specific activities that you do of an educational nature?
Sure, I will start. One of my favorite events is our evening of healthy sexuality that we do in January. Additionally, we do talk to communities, members, community partners. We have shifted the focus just a little bit to being trauma-informed and talking a lot about trauma, because subsumed under trauma is things like sexual and domestic violence. So we work, in fact, as a matter of fact, I'm going to a school group today to actually talk about the high rates of sexual assault in different oppressed groups and being able to get the word out. What is healthy relationships? I know we have our self group that meets weekly, and they do a lot of education with people in trauma around how trauma affects not only the lived part of their lives, but the thinking and the attitudes, and help them to kind of reset in that thinking that they are worthy and they are deserving of healthy relationships. And I know Kim does a lot of work with her youth girls group, so I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about that.
So it's important because a tribal nation, of course, is made up of an oppressed population, so it's important that we acknowledge the historical trauma, acknowledge that we need community partners, we need allies, like my sister's place, like yourselves, to speak out about just the education about what is sexual assault, what is domestic violence, what is historic trauma, what is trauma, period. But we also need to be giving tools and resources. We need to be giving survivors a soft place to fall. We need to change the rhetoric around women and how we treat them, and that means young girls. So we need to give young girls a soft place to fall, and that also means educating our males on how to be allies. And so one thing we're doing in Siletz is we do have a prevention group. It's called Daughters of Tradition. It's also known as Girls Group. And in that group, we do education around self-esteem, kind of gender oppression topics, empowerment, talking about healthy relationships, talking about the fact that you know, you don't have to give in to some of the times where male privilege might squash your spirit. And also, you know, in a community, it's important to remember that children sometimes incur trauma in childhood and addressing those needs. And we also are hoping to start that with a male group. Because we shouldn't just be teaching our girls about healthy relationships, we need to teach our boys about it.
Very good.
Yes.
So,
can I just take the opportunity to invite you? We've got a couple of things coming up tomorrow night from 5 to 8 at the American Legion. It's in yours. It's my sister's soup. It's one of our more fun fundraisers. We'll have entertainment. You can come. Local artisans have thrown bowls for us. And you can purchase a bowl and all you can eat soup. $10 for all you can eat soup, and I think there's dessert mentioned as well. So come on out for an evening. We'll be serving from 5 to 8, and invite you to come for a short, small, enjoyable evening of just dining together and enjoying music. And then, Kim, did you want to invite them to Hunting Ground?
So on the 27th of April, so that's next Thursday, we are holding a 45-minute screen viewing of The Hunting Ground, which is a documentary on sexual assault in college campuses. We're going to be doing kind of a community-based education and discussion period. Again, it's only 45 minutes. The original film is 105. We will not be showing you that. But we do encourage you guys to come out. We need allies there. We need everybody to learn about this topic. And I think it's important because it looks at what does sexual assault look like in the hierarchy of a small community. And, you know, Lincoln County is a small community. We're a rural area. And so there are some similarities to how the community reacts to it. Because as community members, we all have a role in reacting to sexual assault.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
So,
I was going to say, I'll move for approval. I hope someday we don't have to have this type of resolution.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice. But I'll move for approval of a resolution proclaiming April 2017 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month in Lincoln County.
And I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you very much for the work you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Okay, adoption of the consent calendar. Consent calendar items are things of routine nature, or we previously heard. Do you see anything you'd like to highlight or mention?
No, I'm up for approval of the consent calendar.
And I'll second that, and I'll mention Commissioner Hunt, because you were at a conference last week. You missed what I believe was a historic first. No consent calendar items last week.
And of course, I wasn't here.
Yeah, in 12 years as a commissioner and 18 years as a reporter before that, I never remember a blank consent calendar, but I think that must be a tribute to our great staff moving things through so efficiently. So, yeah, did I second the motion to approve the consent calendar? Okay.
For the record, I was attending an emergency preparedness conference all week long.
Yep, that was mentioned.
So,
yes.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Motion passes.
Yep.
No public hearings. Decision in action. In the matter of application of property tax program grant for the fiscal year 2017-2018.
Commissioners, this is you received the application last week in the presentation by the assessor, Joe Davidson, and Claudia Tower, his assistant. So this moves us forward to actually make the application to Department of Revenue. Hopefully we'll get the money that was projected, and we move on from there.
Okay.
And even though I wasn't here, this is really an annual
requirement. And we had lengthy discussion about the issues and problems we have with the way it was set up and how it's actually come to fruition. So.
And we're once again hitting a record low in terms of percentage, actually. Yep.
So do we need to take an action?
Yes, just an action on that.
I would move that we approve this resolution in the matter of the application for the property tax program grant for fiscal year 2017-18.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. No discussion information. We move down to reports and elected officials' reports.
Mr. Chair, I could mention a few things I've been working on. Yesterday, I was in Salem at a housing conference sponsored by the Oregon Opportunity Network, and we had a workshop on strictly on creating middle and low income home ownership opportunities. And a big focus there was talking about the LIFT bonds that, you know, of course, we know the state's in a real dire situation in terms of availability of general fund money, but it does look like the governor proposed $60 million in bonding again for a second year in a row on the LIFT program, which is a housing bonding program, and whereas last year it was strictly focused on creating rental housing, that this year it is going to be focused on creating home ownership opportunities. So local programs like Habitat for Humanity and our Community Land Trust might be able to take advantage of that right here in Lincoln County, and I'm certainly hoping that becomes a reality. The word I'm hearing in the halls of the Capitol is pretty positive toward that as well. On Monday, I was in Salem with a lobby group that I'm involved in trying to move a bill to create child savings accounts for every child. The original concept was to do it for every child born in Oregon. Maine and Connecticut are among the states that do this, that at birth they just open up a savings account and put a token amount of money, something like $25 in it, and encourage the parents, and then when the child reaches summer job working age, to add to it. And there are some other places where this is done. City of Oakland, California has been doing it for years. And they found even with a small amount of money, it produces some remarkable shifts in behaviors by getting the family into the savings habit earlier, that that the child is like twice as likely to finish high school, three times as likely to pursue some kind of post-secondary education or training. So, again, looking at the fiscal realities of what the state is dealing with, the bill has been amended. Rather than starting a statewide program with state funding, there's a private foundation that is interested in funding an initial pilot project that would probably be in two or three counties. So this would get the structure put in place, get the program launched, and then hopefully a couple of years down the road, maybe if the state's looking at a better fiscal situation, then look at perhaps rolling it out statewide.
Well, as I noted earlier, I was in Bend all last week for the annual conference, the Oregon Emergency Management Conference. There were representatives from widely distributed throughout the state, and it is interesting to get that many agencies together. You had first responders, you had emergency managers from numerous counties, and there was some focus on the public health aspects of emergency management and some of the issues there. I had the opportunity to attend some sessions on the hazardous material management, debris management. Had some conversations about the command center operations and interfacing there. One of the things that I found most interesting was the session that was talking about better government relationships between public entities and tribal entities, tribal councils. And it reinforced what we know, and that is that the relationship we have with the Sledge tribe is really unique in the state. And there was lots of discussion about the fractures between the different entities, and it was nice to know that we've got a positive relationship. I was able to share that with the audience, and so it was one of the more meaningful sessions to realize how good the relationship is that we have with the Sledge tribe. But overall, a great session and great conference, and good to be back.
Great.
So I'm going to mention some of the things that went on in the legislature since I've been involved in that a lot in the last month or two. The drop-dead date for hearing new bills is passed, so we narrowed down that large volume of bills down to a few now, and doesn't mean they'll all pass, but right now the coast has quite a few good bills that Donnie Roblin and Gomberg have been involved with. And just brushed through, there's a beach cleanup bill. Surf Riders involved in it, but it takes parks money and rotates it back to the coast for beach cleanup that has normally gone to the valley and then had to come back and didn't always come back in the same amount that we thought was appropriate. It's actually taken from rentals and beach campgrounds in the area and shifts the money back to it. Pacific Marine Energy Center is a big one that is alive and still has the potential to build a test berth here off of Newport. The money's there, to the best of our knowledge, from the federal government. Now we're trying to figure out the match. It doesn't all have to happen in 1 year, so this has life. And that's the important thing, to keep the bill alive.
Absolutely.
The Coast Guard helicopter bill to restate our values that a Coast Guard helicopter be stationed here on the West Coast is, and it's just a memorial to Congress, but it's alive and actually passed easily. Good. The Ocean Trust is one of Arnie Roblin's bills that he's worked on for 6 years, and I've been involved in it since the inception to try to have a place to put money so that we can make sure it goes to science and have scientists and work as a team to make a better science program out of some money. Four is the task force that creates a disaster location. It has to do with rural fire protection districts around the state that are adjacent to highways, but when you create a task force, anything can happen now with it. But it's there to talk about disaster relief and how we can create better sites out in rural areas to protect all of our citizens that are traveling. I think it has a good shot of moving forward and becoming a task force. Now, there are a lot of task forces. Mm-hmm. They may cut some back. And, of course, the one Doug and I have been working on, or all three of us have been working on, is the Maritime Bill. It's a task force also that may reevaluate the maritime community and be a positive thing and bring better workforce dollars to our community colleges and better train people in the maritime community.
Fabulous.
And do you have anything you want to say about that? You're closer on top of it than I am.
Well, I'll just say that we have a meeting scheduled Tuesday, the 25th, next Tuesday, here in this room, and we'll be taking the next step. Generally speaking, we'll have the meeting divided into two sessions. First session is where we've got private industry coming together to talk about their specific needs. So you have the actual employers talking about the needs, the skill sets that they're looking for in their employees. Then the second half of the meeting would be taking that information and starting to formulate some type of a sector strategy, which would then enable us to look, as you said, at the community college programs and also workforce dollars. So we'd have both educational programs and job skill training programs to address the needs of the industry that were identified, prioritized in the first session. So lots of great work, and it's good to know that. Appreciate the support at the legislature for the Senate bill to establish a task force and provide greater clarity and data as to the real value of the maritime sector. So thank you for your help on that.
Excellent. Hey,
Wayne, have you been tracking bills? Is there anything that you want to mention that's still alive that
either helps us or we should be concerned about?
PERS. No.
Yes. Yeah. Well, although it is good to remind people that most of the Lincoln County workforce is not on PERS,
yeah,
unlike most of the local governments.
We
are,
go ahead.
You know, except for public safety folks, because the law requires that they either be on PERS or on a program equivalent to PERS. So our sheriff's office personnel are on PERS, but the rest of the workforce is on a 401k plan, so we ride up with the ups and downs of the market like everybody else.
So I'll go back and let you talk.
Yes.
There's a couple of bills that are dealing with public records, as there are every session, and we're monitoring those bills and participating through the Association of Oregon Counties and to the County Council's group. And then there's just a number of bills, as there are every session, that really are of interest to us, you know, more narrow interest to us, maybe as county attorneys, that tweak things here and there. We're looking at some stuff around MERS, the system of recorded documents in the clerk's office has some impacts out there. We're looking at that. Just a general, you know, with the focus so much on money, on the $1.6 or $1.7 billion deficit and PERS, you know, sometimes the other bills slip through. But we do have mechanisms in place and groups that do monitor these, and we participate very regularly in actions at the legislature.
Land use bills, any of them?
You know, land use has been kind of quiet this session, I think, more so than I've seen in a long time.
Same thing, I felt too late.
It's surprising in some ways. I thought there might be more things related to it this session, but there isn't.
Okay. Well, that gives you a brief update, and we'll update you as these bills get narrowed down, see what stays alive. With that, we'll go to constituent input and
fight the crowd. Make your way up here in Vermont.
So Jeff Doyle, Toledo Rural Fire Protection District, going to talk again about the station out there and the possible station out there in Eddyville. Two things before we get started on that. We'd like to thank the commissioners for being behind this SB 531 that Commissioner Thompson talked about, the rural fire district bill, so we appreciate that. We're on board and we're in contact with Senator Roblin's office all the time with that, so we appreciate your support on that. Yesterday at approximately 2:20 something in the afternoon, the Willamette Valley Communications Center lost contact with Lincoln County Fire and Police for over an hour. So it's an information thing, but can you imagine if that would have happened during the eclipse, let's say, or this is how they communicated. To cell phone called the ambulance company, the cell phone called the chief of police, the cell phone called, you know, so...
They called me, too.
Yeah, and so you're all aware, but, you know...
Alerts.
Yeah. So, and, you know, it's an FYI, I figured you guys already know, but also, you know, that was part of our plan with this fire station out there was backup communications, and fortunately for all, didn't sound like anybody, you know, was in danger. After the fact, everything got taken care of in a timely manner. But, you know, if it had happened on a big day, like we talked about before, the eclipse or during, hopefully it never happens, the big incident, the earthquake and following. So we're still out there. I know you're aware of that. And like I told you, what, about a month ago, I have nothing to do on Wednesday morning, so...
No, it's a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, I know.
Great. Now we know how important we are.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I can't make any political statements about being on the ballot for any possible things going on right now, so thanks for the time, guys.
Thank you.
I'd just like to make a comment. One of the sessions that I did attend over in Bend was also on the, you know, the... redundancy in communication systems in the event of the big one. And of course, there was a broad representation from the ham radio group, but again, there's a recognition that we need to have a variety of ways to communicate, and the more ways that we have and the more practiced they are, the better we'll be able to communicate, depending on what breakdowns there are in other systems. So it was also a subject of conversation in Bend.
Good. Okay. Well, we'll... our next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, April 26th. It's a joint session with the City of Depot Bay at the Depot Bay City Hall. And following that, the Board of Commissioners meeting in Depot Bay.
Okay.
With that, we'll adjourn the meeting.